It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for listening. Each of you are treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive with excellence. Step into this day. This is our time in history. It's a very historical time. Interesting times, as the old Chinese proverb is, may you live in interesting times. Most definitely that is the case. And we've got a country to save. We've got a state to save here. And there are those before us that have stepped into this, stepped into this in more ways than one, Producer Steve. But we have a lot of work to do here. So thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It's the day after Sunday, the day before Tuesday, and we have a lot of work to do, Producer Steve.
Yes, we are daily smelling what we're stepping into, aren't we?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on out there. I cannot believe it as we go through the headlines. And also, it's election time. The ballots are going to drop probably at the end of the week. You'll probably have them by Saturday or Monday, if not Friday. We are working diligently on our voter's guide, which will be on the website here by the end of the week, as well as we're working diligently to defeat a couple of tax measures out there as well. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. So welcome, and be sure and check out my website, my friends. It is Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and our most recent podcast. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity. We look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, and the latest, and that is government-induced inflation. And we see so many things going on right now to take our rights and our property and our freedom and our livelihood. I mean, this is unbelievable to me that if you don't take the jab, then you can't work. This is taking people's livelihoods, Steve. I cannot even believe it.
Well, we're actually, for the last several weeks, been toying with the idea of going back to the East Coast in November. And we finally took the plunge, made the commitment last week, and bought airline tickets. But all the while, I'm thinking, as the holidays get closer, what is the possibility of them this rearing its ugly head where they want to ban interstate travel for the unvaccinated?
Well, and let's go to that. Let's see. There's a headline here that Patty had on here. This is from Fox News, that Dr. Anthony Fauci was under fire on Sunday for suggesting Americans might have to spend Christmas alone in 2021. On CBS's Face the Nation, Fauci spoke with anchor Margaret Brennan about the status of the coronavirus pandemic and what it expected in the months to come. Specifically, Brennan wondered if families can gather for Christmas. We can gather for Christmas, or it's just too soon to tell, Brennan asked. Fauci responded, it was too soon to tell if people could gather in groups by Christmas this year. It is just too soon to tell, Fauci said. We have to concentrate on continuing to get those numbers down and not try to jump ahead by weeks or months and say what we're going to do at any particular time. Steve, this was never, when the coronavirus began, it was never to get the numbers down. This is a cousin of the common cold. And if you test everybody to see if they have the virus for the common cold, probably everybody's going to, or most everybody's going to. So this, to test people that are not sick and then say that that is a case, this is Crazyville that's going on right now. So my friends, get together with your family at Christmas time. You never know what's going to be around next Christmas time. So make sure you get together with your friends and your family and those that you love. Now, they may try to ban interstate travel, Steve. That's for sure. I mean, here they're saying to federal workers that if you don't get the jab by a certain date, you're going to lose your job. This is crazy, but we have to stand at this particular point in time and hold the line. There's 80 million people or so that have, I don't think, have gotten the jab yet. And that is a big control group that they're trying to force them to get the jab because they have never done the studies on this, Steve. They've never compared those that have not gotten the jab with those that have. Of course, we're seeing all these breakthrough cases with people that have gotten the vaccine. Now the narrative is, well, you didn't get as sick as you would have. It's like when we talk with Patrick Moore about this, these unseen catastrophes. I mean, you don't know. And they play into that. And they're supposed to, quote unquote, be scientists and be doing different scientific tests on this, and they're not. They're just using force.
Well, back to your comments about what Fauci said yesterday on CBS. Any reputable news organization is, you know, and that's the key word, I guess, is reputable. Do your homework. Do real journalism. Don't keep going back to this same clown who has been wrong on, you know, I mean, his batting average is maybe 50%.
It's about as bad as his pitching.
Well, yeah. But why keep going back to the same source unless it is your intent to keep on dredging up the fear, the uncertainty, and I think that is the goal.
I do think that is the goal, to keep people on edge. And there's really, I mean, where's the leadership in trying to get to getting people back to hopeful and just all these threats? You can't work, you can't fly, you can't go out to eat, you can't do this, you can't do that. How about let's get creative on how we can get this economy going again? Then one has to ask, well, maybe that's not what they really want to do. But on the other hand, you know, I did some traveling this last week, Steve, and I was driving down I-80 yesterday, and I'll tell you what, the American trucking industry is busy, and that gave my heart, made my heart very happy to see the commerce that was going on across the United States. We continue to hear that there's possibly going to be shortages coming up because I guess apparently there's a bunch of container ships that are off the coast of California that can't get unloaded. But I can tell you that there were plenty of goods that are making their way across the United States right now. And I'm in spite of this administration and all they are trying to do to break the middle class, the American people are still at it. And we've got to stay at it, Steve.
I saw a map last week of the U.S. and there were little red dots off, you know, to notate the container ships that are just sitting offshore. But it wasn't just the West Coast. It was in the Gulf of Mexico. It was also up and down the East Coast as well.
That is so interesting. Don't you wonder, I mean, are there container ships that are trying to get into Russia or Cuba? Are there any little red dots around there, or did you happen to look at that?
No, the map was only the U.S., but that's a great question.
Okay, so, well, let's continue on. We've got a great show planned for you today, and I'm really excited. At the bottom of the hour, we will be talking with Marlon Kirsch, and Kirsch Insurance Group are new sponsors of the show, and they're specialists in the Medicare arena. And we hear about that there's a Medicare window where you can make changes and you have to sign up by a certain day. And anyway, it's all super complicated. But Marlon Kirsch and his whole team, Danielle, the whole group over there, they know what they're doing. And I'm really excited to talk with them at the bottom of the hour. And then our friend Helen Raleigh, who immigrated from China, you know her. She's a national commentator, author. We'll talk with her about a piece that she just did regarding an exchange program. She said, why don't socialists want to leave America? And that'll be a great conversation in the third and fourth segment as well. Steve, you and I, as we're doing this research, and I continue to look for quotes for the show, and I came across the Lenin quote, the way to break the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And we see that is exactly what this administration is doing. But it's not only on the national level. They're trying to get this $3.5 trillion spending bill passed. And the longer it goes, I think we, the American people, need to step up. And I was talking to somebody, and they said that phone calls to your congressmen or your senators, you know, maybe they pay attention to that, and maybe emails, but a personal note to your congressman or your senator actually can have a big effect. And so I am going to be sending a personal note to John Hickenlooper and to Michael Bennett on a couple of things. First of all, to just say no on all of this spending. We finally have to stop the line on that. And then also the guest that we had Michael maybe on a couple of weeks ago regarding, I think his is grid security now. And then on Friday, we had John Hollerman on with Grid Down Consulting, I think it is, and talking about the electric grid. And I talked with Glenn Rhodes afterwards, who's also doing so much work on the national level regarding our grid. And he was just beside himself that we are not doing anything right now to get our electric grid secure. But my understanding is that China and Russia are securing their electric grids, and we've just not had the political will to do that. So I looked at the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. John Hickenlooper sits on that, and nobody on that committee is asking any of these questions. And Joe Manchin from West Virginia is the chair. And then Senator Barrasso from Wyoming is the ranking member. We need to be reaching out to all of them as well. Mike Lee is on that committee. And instead of messing around here with a $3.5 trillion spending bill that could bankrupt our country, they need to be doing the things that that will really protect the American people. So I'm going to, Patty and I will work on it. We'll get those mailing addresses for some of those senators so that you can be sending a note to them to get the security, the grid secure, and also to not pass this terrible spending bill, Steve.
Well, you keep watching this play itself out. There's two strong Democratic voices right now, Joe Manchin.
I'm no longer calling them Democratic.
I'm sorry.
There's nothing Democratic. Democrat.
I fall into that trap every time. Two of them that are the voice of reason, you know, Joe Manchin and Kirsten
Sinema
from Arizona. And you wonder, you know, I mean, I just want these two to stay strong and hold the line here, because obviously they are the definitive fly in the ointment. And let's just see where this goes. Now they've extended. Obviously, they have some impact. They've extended this vote out to what, Halloween? The last few days of the month.
What an appropriate day, yeah.
Yeah, the trick or treat.
But that is why we need to, my friends. All of us need to sit down and write just a few. Of course, then you send it in the post office. Good luck on that. But anyway, we do need to be sending some handwritten notes, and I guess do follow up with a phone call just so that you have yourself covered. But
you just have to wonder, do our two senators have that kind of backbone?
So far, I've not seen anything from them. And as I've mentioned, I don't even know. I guess I've heard Hickenlooper speak once or twice, so I guess I would recognize his voice. But I don't know that very seldom have I ever heard Senator Bennett. So I'm not sure I would even recognize his voice. He certainly is not reaching out to what I can see, we the people, to be representing us.
Well, Bennett has been nailed for not even really being, this is going to sound dumb, but a resident of this state. He spends zero time here. He's always back in Washington. He doesn't come out to Colorado except for very public photo op opportunities.
Okay. Well, these elections are very, very important, Steve. But right now, we need to try to hold the line. This spending bill will spend us into oblivion, and we need to really encourage them to say no on that. And that goes really to our quote. And this is from Karl Marx. He was, you know him, a German philosopher, critic of political economy, historian, sociologist, political theorist, journalist, and socialist revolutionary. He was born in Germany, studied law and philosophy at the universities of Bonn and Berlin. And he was born in 1818, died in 1883. And this is what he said: a heavy or progressive or graduated income tax is necessary for the proper development of communism. And when we look at what is in this $3.5 trillion bill, the heavy taxation in there, It goes directly to Karl Marx, and I think it's important that people understand that. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I know that it's football season out there, and Hooters Restaurants, which is a fine sponsor of the show, has all kinds of specials for football day, and that is on Mondays and Thursdays and Saturdays and Sundays. And they have, let's see, they've got in-to-go specials, they've got dine-in specials, and if you're going to have a number of friends over, they've got a party pack to go. You get 50 wings, and you get some appetizers, and let's see, you also get some of the desserts. So be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up, or click on my sponsors tab. And I highly recommend each and every one of them. And click on the Hooters tab. You'll get all their specials. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so appreciate you. And our next headline, Steve, that I wanted to go to from the Wall Street Journal. You can't make this stuff up. And it says the comptroller of the economy, Biden's nominee to regulate banks, really, really hates banks. Said President Biden checked off another progressive identity box last week by nominating Saul Amarova as comptroller of the currency. Some Trump appointees were ridiculed for having supported the elimination of their agencies. Ms. Amarova wants to eliminate the banks she's being appointed to regulate. The Cornell University Law School professor's radical ideas might even make Bernie Sanders blush. She graduated from Moscow State University in 1989 on, get this, Steve, the Lenin Personal Academic Scholarship. 30 years later, she still believes the Soviet economic system was superior and that U.S. banking should be remade in Gosbank's image. Until I came to the U.S., I couldn't imagine that things like gender pay gap still existed in today's world. Say what you will about the old USSR, there were no gender pay gaps there. Yeah, because nobody was making a living there, Steve. That's my editorial comment. Market doesn't always know best, she tweeted in 2019. After Twitter users criticized her ignorance, she added a caveat. I never claimed women and men were treated absolutely equally in every facet of Soviet life, but people's salaries were set by the state in a gender-blind manner, and all women got very generous maternity benefits. Both things are still a pipe dream in our society. And this is the new potential comptroller of the bank. Can you believe it? Or comptroller of the economy.
No, and I want to say, if you're so enamored with this, then pack your bags, get a ticket, and we'll see you later.
We'll talk with Helen Raleigh about that here in just a little bit. She's suggesting an exchange program, and I love that idea.
Did you say that Jay Davidson is going to be on later this week?
Yeah, he's going to be on Wednesday.
Okay.
And another great sponsor of the show. He's a founder, CEO of First American State Bank. So
I'm sure
we'll have
to
talk with him about it.
Yes, he would have something to say about this one.
It's unbelievable. The people that the Harris, Biden, Rice, Jarrett, Obama administration is putting into place, people that don't like America. Anyway, it'll be a great conversation with Helen here in just a little bit. Couple of other things. We'll just mention taxation. And Patty and I were talking last week, and she had such a great point. And that is, you know how we talk about that we want government to be as local as possible? Well, what I figured out is the most local is ourselves. governing ourselves. And then, of course, that goes to our families and then to our local governments and on up to the county, state, and federal level. But the federal government, first of all, is so far out of the guardrails that the Constitution put in place. And, of course, with this massive mammoth potential $3.5 trillion spending bill, it'll spend us into oblivion. But the other thing is that we see all these, like on a local level, all of these different taxing authorities, whether or not it's your parks and recreation or your metro district or your fire district, your library district, your city, all of these things. And Steve, pre-call, we were talking about this really massive tax proposal, tax increase proposal here in Lone Tree. And that is, it's a 55% sales tax increase that they're looking for. The sales tax right now is at 1.8125%. They're proposing another cent on that. That is a 55% increase. And we were talking about that almost $7 million Leaf Bridge that was built over Lincoln. It's a pedestrian bridge, which very seldom do I see people on it. I was on city council when this was approved. It was a 4-1 vote. I voted against it because I felt that, first of all, if there was a need for a pedestrian bridge, and there was no usage study ever done for that, but if there was even a need for that, we didn't need to go out and get one of the most expensive architects in the metro area and spend $7 million on that bridge. But what happened was, is Lone Tree facilitated that, put a bunch of money in it, but then they went to other entities that we all pay taxes for. So all the money came out of our pocket, but it was these different entities there. And so when they spread out this taxation across all these different entities, it's much harder to say no. And so there's a lot of tax questions on the ballot across the state this election cycle. And I would highly recommend, there's very seldom I would ever recommend a yes vote on new taxes. The way to increase taxes is actually to grow the economy so that the pie gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so the government still is taking that percentage. But since it's a bigger pie across more people, then the tax revenues go up that way. But if in fact you raise taxes, it has the opposite effect in as much as it actually contracts the economy, Steve.
Well, I'm glad it's an honor to work with somebody who is more of a deeper thinker than I am, because when that pedestrian bridge went down, and I knew how much money they were spending, I said, oh, well, at least it's none of my money, until you reminded me that the South Suburban piece and the Douglas County piece, it was my money.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. So, but that's the other thing they like to say, is say that somebody else is going to pay those taxes. Hey, you know what? Typically, that somebody else is typically you as well. So, but I want to jump over here. I am so excited to have new partners on the show, and that is the Kirsch Insurance Group, and they are specialists in the Medicare arena. On the line with me is Marlon Kirsch. Marlon, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you as new partners, and it was really great to go out and meet you and Danielle and Naomi and see what you're doing. Medicare, people don't really understand it. There's a window that's coming up. You work with a lot of different companies, and you can help tailor these plans to work the very best for each individual. And we realize each person is individual. They have different needs. They have different budgets. And you can really tailor something that works best for them. Correct, Marlon?
That is correct, Kim. A little bit about Kirsch Insurance. I mean, we're a broker is what we are, and so we contract with most of the carriers in Colorado, and we work with people to transition them to Medicare, or even current people who are on Medicare are very confused about the open enrollment coming up.
Well, so what does that mean exactly, this open enrollment?
Once a year, Medicare has what they call AEP, or annual enrollment period, and it starts on October 15th and it goes through December 7th. So it's a fairly short window where anyone on Medicare can change their health insurance plans. And when they change those plans during that term, then that change will be effective on January 1st, or in this case, it'll be 2022. We think it's probably the most important election period that Medicare has. Unfortunately, as you said in your opening remarks, I mean, so many people do not understand what this is about, and they wake up on January 1st and they're on the wrong plan, and that's the unfortunate thing.
Well, and when you say wrong plan, it could be for their needs or for their budget, and so tell me, so let's see, we're October 5th, so this is right around the corner.
October 15th.
Okay,
right.
So within 10 days is when people can start to make these changes. So if somebody, let's say somebody is on Medicare right now, and right, they would reach out to you, what would the process look like, and is there any cost involved?
Right. Okay, thank you. Good question. Well, what happens during this period, and probably the most important thing, is people take a look at their prescription drug plans, which is Part D in Medicare. It's not so much that people's medications necessarily change, but the companies who are the providers, they're the people that change. I mean, their formularies change, their premiums change, their tiers change. And sometimes people can wake up on January 1st and they can find out that their medications are not covered. Now, as a broker with our clients, what we do, we help them through this important time. We use a proprietary software where we have all the 2022 plans loaded, and so when we visit with a potential prospect or our clients, we can tell them the most cost-effective plan to be on for 2022. Now, we do not charge for our services. I mean, this industry is very regulated, and this is a service that we provide that we think it's critically important. A lot of it's education, but people have to be proactive and contact their broker to be sure that they're on the right plan for 2022.
Okay, so I would recommend that it doesn't cost anything to make sure that you're on the right plan, and it could save you money, could save you headache. And the best way to reach you, Marlon, is how?
Well, the best way you can go to our website, which is www.ikirsch.com. That's IKIRSCH.com. Or you could call us direct. We have staff people, and we can help you at 303-397-7830. And we'd be more than happy to help clients and walk them through the process during this important open enrollment, or during this annual enrollment election.
Okay. And what I love about it, Marlon, is that you work with all these different companies. So instead of somebody just going with one particular company and that's what they offer, you can actually, as you mentioned with your software, take a look at what's coming up in 2022 and really help people so that when they wake up on January 1, they don't have any surprises.
That's totally true. I mean, the problem with working with a specific entity, I mean, odds are you're going to be on the wrong plan. And as a broker, we're contracted with most of the carriers in Colorado. And as you said earlier, what's right for one person is, believe me, is not right for the next person. And our software helps us get our prospects and clients through that process.
Oh, I just love it. So Marlon Kirsch, that is iKirsch, KIRSCH.com, iKirsch.com. Marlon, thank you so much. And we'll do regular updates every week so that we can keep people apprised of what's happening there. And welcome to the show. It's great to have you as sponsors.
Hey, great, Kim. I really appreciate it, and we look forward to it.
Okay, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Helen Raleigh, and she has written a really important piece. It says, "Why Don't Socialists Want to Leave America?" let's have a conversation. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I'm so excited to have on the line with me my friend Helen Raleigh. You know her. She's an American entrepreneur, writer, and speaker. She's a senior contributor at The Federalist. Her writings appear in other national media, including The Wall Street Journal and Fox News. She's the author of several books, including Confucius Never Said and Backlash, How Communist China's Aggression Has Backfired. You can follow her on Parler and Twitter at H. Raleigh Speak. That's H-R-A-L-E-I-G-H Speak. Helen, is that right? Is that H. Raleigh Speak or is that Speaks? It seems like there should be an S on the end.
There's an S on the end. Good morning, Kim.
How are you? It's great to have you on the line.
Thank you for having me this bright early morning.
This piece that you have written, Why Don't Socialists Want to Leave America? You've said, even these socialists understand that they won't be able to replicate their successes in the U.S. or in the U.S. anywhere else in the world. And I love this. You have said, given the socialists very public contempt for America, more than one person, including myself, has proposed an exchange program. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I don't know if you recall that earlier this year, there's a movement in Cuba that the Cubans, the hungry, starving Cubans, all rising up, the protest on the street, and they were beaten back by the government thugs, and the Cuban government actually shut down the social media. And I don't know if you recall that Bernie Sanders and the AOC, or our famous well-known American socialists, all jump out to blame the U.S. government, U.S. sanctions, instead of blame the communism in this communist regime in Cuba. So there were many of us who lived under socialism before. We were like, you know, why don't we just have an exchange program? Since this American socialists, they love socialism so much, you know, why don't we send them to Cuba? Why don't we bring those Cubans who do not want to live in socialism, you know, who risk their lives want to come to America? Why don't we bring them here peacefully through this peaceful exchange? So it's going to create a win-win situation. They get, you know, the Cubans get to live the freedom in America. And our American socialists get to live in a socialism paradise. They always wanted it.
Sounds like a win-win, huh?
Yeah, sounds like a win-win. But there was no taker from the American side, even from the American socialist side, even though there are many Cubans would love that chance, jump on that opportunity.
Well, and as we look at the policies of like a Bernie Sanders or an AOC, or with the policies that are coming out of the Harris, Biden, Obama, Rice, Jared administration, it looks to me like they are trying to push us to socialism. The quote that I had today from Karl Marx regarding the progressive tax, it says a heavy or progressive or graduated income tax is necessary for the proper development of communism. Helen, when we look at these spending bills that have come through and are proposed, I mean, they're going to spend us into oblivion. Why would they want, if they don't want to move to Cuba or Venezuela or China, why are they trying to put those policies in place here, Helen? What do you think?
Well, for one, it's ideological, right? They never learn. They don't think what's happening in Cuba, China, former Soviet Union was caused by socialist policies. So they think that they can do it right here in the United States. This time they're going to do this right in here in the United States. And also, the way they're thinking is the more you make an individual depend on the government for everything, because what it is socialism trying to do is create this cradle to grave system, not like Sweden, not like Denmark. They actually have some very vibrant private sectors, but in true socialism, they want to provide you to this cradle to grave dependency. So you really have no ability, nor desire, nor will to strike out on your own, to choose how you want to live. Instead, you depend on the government for food, you depend on government for housing, you depend on government for education, you depend on government for a job. So because you're so dependent on the government for everything, right, you basically became slave to the government, depend on the government, provide everything. So that's what socialism is really about. It's a beautiful lie. It tells you it's going to give everybody everything. Really, it's really about a small group of people, namely socialists, will use this giving everybody everything as an enticement in order to get power and control for themselves at the expense of the mass. That's why when you look at China, when you look at the Soviet Union, when you look at Cuba, Venezuela, they all end up in the same place, which is a small group of people enriched, empowered themselves, and while the masses, you know, endure starvation, hunger, really have, you know, they have jobs, but they make absolutely no money. You know, they have food. I mean, they have food stamps, but they have limited food supply, and they have supposed to have free access to healthcare, but there was no doctor and no medicine, you know, not really care. So just because you have access doesn't mean you're going to get care.
Right.
That is what this really is about.
Well, in this piece, you've actually called out several of these socialists. You said Senator Bernie Sanders is a millionaire. He owns three houses. And you went through some of these others. Is there any others that you'd like to share with our listeners of just how they don't really want to live as socialists? They like the elite lifestyle, but they haven't really done anything to earn it. It's been more because of their positions.
Right. Well, so they did do something to earn it, but they do something harmful to earn it. I want to name a few. So you're absolutely right. The socialists, if you look at some of the socialists, their lifestyle here in America, that they really they say they're representing working class people, but they don't really care about the working class people. And they desperately try to live like the rich, they always condemn. For example, the co-founder of Black Lives Matter and the self-proclaimed Marxist, Patrice Han Kulor, you know, she grew up in a project, but she co-founded the Black Lives Matter BLM movement and raised a lot of money. And, you know, she against the core families, like nuclear families, and she's talking about redistribution wealth from the rich to the poor, across racial lines. So, and the BLM organization raised hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, all the corporations ponied up. Guess what? We have no idea how many poor people she actually helped, but she has done very well for herself since she became a community organizer. She owned at least four luxury properties in the United States worth at least $3.2 million.
Nice.
So she actually recently, she has done well for herself. She has to quit her leadership role at the BLM after her taste of luxury real estate holdings were exposed. And also, you know, look at Sean King. He's another socialist who campaigned for Bernie Sanders. He co-founded this Real Justice Political Action. He co-founded it with Patrice. And he always fashioned himself as a champion for the poor and the disenfranchised. Guess what? It turned out that he and his wife owned this luxury lakefront property in New Jersey that's worth close to $1 million.
Nice.
And then you have the Seattle, you know, the Republic of not republic, the communist regime in the city councils of Seattle, the two most socialist council women. And they actually build their personal brand on demonizing the rich. And they encouraged anti-police riots last summer. These two collectively worth over $3 million. So they claim they're socialist, but they don't really live like working class people. Even AOC, right? AOC, we don't know if she's a millionaire or not. But AOC drives a Tesla. That's a car, you know, with a price tag between $46,000 to $60,000. You know, and you and I know, Kim, we don't drive Tesla. We can't afford it. We can afford it, Tesla. And she shops at the Whole Foods all the time. You know, Whole Foods has a nickname called a whole paycheck. It's not a grocery store working class America shop frequently. Right. So even though AOC claims she represents working class people, she doesn't live like working class people. How is she going to represent them?
Well, and then the other thing, you know, she had that designer ball gown for this recent gala. And that was very expensive. It was $30,000 per ticket. And again, they are not really representing the working class, everyday, hardworking people. But what they are out there doing is putting in legislation, putting in rules and regulations legislation, you know, all these things that will take more and more from everyday, hardworking people. For example, my understanding is that there is, well, let's say just here in Colorado, this new fee on gas. Who does that affect? That affects our hardworking people at the fuel pump. Not only has Biden's policies out there increased our cost at the fuel pump anywhere from 50, 60, 70%, mm-hmm. but now they're going to add in additional fees, and they're calling them fees instead of taxes so that they can get around Tabor. There's something so disingenuous about this, Helen.
Right, and this is where the problem is. The American socialists, they do not live in a real socialist, like they proclaim the socialist lifestyle. They enjoy the wealth and the prosperities of capitalism provide them. Yet at the same time, because they don't live this lifestyle, they actually advocate policies that hurt working class people who have to live like that. You know, there was a Wall Street Journal article this morning talking about how the recent real wage measurement shows the lowest income group actually are making less money today compared to 2 years ago, pre-pandemic. So people who really need the money the most, the working class people, they make less money today in measured by real dollars, yet we are paying more on gas, and we're paying more for food, we're paying more for diapers, we're paying more for everything. So we're making less, we're paying more, and this is what the socialism economy is about. People who have the power and the privilege as well as enjoy the prosperity that the system provides are making policies come back. They don't have to live under. These policies come back to haunt and hurt the real working class people. You know, the privileged, the socialist elites, they never have to live this consequence. When they advocated for defund the police, because they live in gated neighborhood, they walk around with the private, you know, guard, security guard. So they never have to understand how a young family, immigrant family, living in the center of the town, it has to hear bullets flying, worry about, you know, somebody going to get shot in the middle of the night. They never, you know, the elite socialists never lived like that. So they don't have to, they make policies that they do not have to endure the consequence. And that is very typical.
Well, and they say they care about everyday hardworking people, but as you've mentioned in this piece, they don't. And one thing before we go to break, you said they are effective marketers, especially good at exploiting people's guilt, anger, insecurity, and loneliness for their financial gains. To the elite class, socialists say the only way to redeem historical sin is to pay up now. To the poor and disenfranchised, socialists claim the system is rigged and inherently unjust. Only we can bring you social justice. So send me your money for a collective good. And that pretty well nails that. Let's button this up before we go to break, because I want to talk with you about your book, Backlash, regarding China. Much has happened since you've written that book. And let's talk about that in the next segment. How do you want to button this particular piece up, though, Helen Raleigh?
Well, so I just want to mention, most people know that I write for the Federalist and some national media. So this piece we talk about today is actually from my newsletter on Substack. So I started a newsletter subscription newsletter since the beginning of this year. So I would encourage people, there's a free portion and there's a paid portion. So I would encourage people to go check it out. This one is free. I would encourage people to go check out. I hope you will provide a link to them. They can go check out this Substack newsletter. And if they'd like to support my work, I hope they'll go subscribe to it, because I am a working girl.
I know you are.
Privileged. I don't drive a Tesla.
No. So how do people sign up for that, Helen?
They can go to my website, HelenRaleighSpeaks.com, or they can just go to the Substack. It's SubStack.com, and just find my name, Helen Raleigh. They can also go to my Twitter handle. I have a link there. I sent out a link this morning about the show.
So. Okay, very good. And yes, we will get that into the recap, which should be published sometime tomorrow as well. So we're going to go to break. On the line with me is Helen Raleigh. You know her. She is a national writer. She's an author, commentator. Before we do that, though, another great sponsor of the show is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have knives for the best blade makers from throughout the world. They're getting a lot of inventory in as we're preparing for the Christmas season coming up here. So be sure and check out their website. That's castlegate.com. Castlegate.com, or one of these beautiful Colorado days, just take a little trip down to Sedalia, Colorado, and check out their physical location. It's a great little store. So again, that's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Helen Raleigh.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so appreciate you. On the line with me is Helen Raleigh. She's an American entrepreneur, also known as a working girl. She's a writer and speaker. She's a senior contributor at The Federalist and is on national media, including The Wall Street Journal, Fox News. Has written several books, among them Confucius Never Said and Backlash, How Communist China's Aggression Has Backfired. Helen, when you first wrote your book and published it, Backlash, How Communist China's Aggression Has Backfired, Trump was in office and China was not rattling their swords right now, but now they are. In fact, just this last weekend, apparently they have gone into Taiwan's airspace a number of different times. A lot has changed since you have written that book. What's your thoughts on this now?
Well, yes, a lot has changed. Where do I even start? There are just so many. So basically, when we talk about China, we always separate the people from the government. And the government, the Chinese government, is really run by the Chinese Communist Party. So all the criticism is really towards the party. So the Communist Party is like the biggest gangsters on the planet. You know, they are powerful, they're rich. And when you're dealing with a gangster, you know, it's like a street fight. You have to show that you have this powerful wrist. You know, you have the iron fist to meet their iron fist, okay? That's what the Trump did most of the time. You know, he was not perfect. You know, he was eager to negotiate a trade deal with them. So he had his soft spot. But for most, especially for his second half of his first term presidency, that he was tough. He really showed he has just as hard iron fist to punch back. And that really tamed the Communist Party down. But now the Communist Party obviously saw a very weak, soft, distracted leadership in America today. So that's why the Communist Party is taking advantage of the situation, is acting out. Not only this, they harassing Taiwan constantly, especially last week, since last week, October 1st, was the anniversary of the founding of Communist China. So the Communist Party celebrated by sending the largest group numbers of airplanes, the fighter jets, into Taiwan's airspace as an intimidation. But there's more. There's so much more. So on the economic front, China's cracking down on its own technology companies, and there's one of the largest property developers in China is blowing up, and it owed over $300 billion debt. And if your listeners think this has nothing to do with them, they are wrong. Because many American mutual fund companies, you know, ETF companies, investment banks, they all have a stake. They all bought a stake in Chinese technology company as well as that property developer. So we are exposed. So that's one thing. Another thing is there's a socialist revolution, second round of revolution going on in China, inside of China as well. The China is cracking down on its own entertainment industry, its education industry, and it's basically what happened is I think the country's people worldwide just gradually waking up to the fact that the Communist Party has never changed. You know, for the last four decades throughout the economic reform, there were many people naively believed, including many elites in our country, our political leaders and business elites thought, oh, if they embrace even limited forms of economic reform, that means the party has changed. No, now they found out the party has never changed. Basically, the parties now, they believe the same thing as they believed before, except 40 years ago, they recognized they had to grow the economy in order to survive. Now, after 40 years' growth, after it took advantage of the technology and the investment from the West, took advantage of the ingenuities from Chinese people. Now China has a booming economy. Then the communists finally decided, okay, now it's time to show our true color. So the Chinese leader now is promoting, you know, the things he promoted sounds very Bernie Sanders. He's talking about the common prosperity, which is really about robbing the rich to pay the poor. So all the rich people, wealthy people in China are ponying up to give basically voluntarily, I put in air quotes, of voluntarily, donating their wealth into the social programs. And if you think this has nothing to do with us, you will be wrong too, because unlike a Cultural Revolution 1.0, this Cultural Revolution 2.0 is implemented to support the Communist Party's ultimate ambition to, you know, bring the socialist model to the rest of the world, to be the center of the universe. So that will impact us, and that reflects in our policies, foreign policies, economic policies, military expansion. It just on so many fronts.
Well, and you alluded to this. This administration, you said they're weak, they're distracted, they're soft. And I feel just great danger for everyday Americans, and a lot of people don't even realize it. What's your comments on that, Helen?
Well, we should be. I don't know if you're aware that just last week there was basically a hostage exchange. So under the Trump administration, that you know, the American government asked the Canadian government to arrest this high-level executive from Huawei, which is China's telecom giant, on economic fraud charges, and try to extradite her from Canada to the United States. Okay, so she was captured December 2018, and since then, the Canadian government and the U.S. government had provided her with all the legal protection any regular citizen will enjoy under a free and a free country that runs, you know, governed by rule by law. So she and her lawyer has been fighting it every step along the way. Well, in retaliation, China arrested two Canadian businessmen in China immediately as a hostage. And China also prevented the two Asian Americans from leaving China, their siblings, from leaving China since 2018, basically as a hostage. And so last week, the Biden administration, after this Huawei executive admitted that she did commit some crime, the Biden administration dropped the charges, sent her back to China, and right after that, China released both the American hostage as well as the Canadian hostage. Kim, you and I know you never negotiated with a terrorist, right? Why? Because right. When you negotiate with terrorists, when you cave to them, you're going to embolden them to do more, to commit more of the terrorism. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Because if China thinks, treated this as a success of their hostage diplomacy, guess what? They're going to do more of it.
Oh, my gosh. Helen Raleigh, there is so much going on out there. I so appreciate you joining us today. We're out of time. 30 seconds. What's your final thought to leave with our listeners?
Well, I just hope everybody will wake up, look around. Socialism is already here. Like I mentioned in that piece, socialism is right, is already here. It's an all hands on deck moment. Kim, it cannot be just you and I fighting this battle. Everybody who wants freedom, who do not want to live in under socialism, they need to join this. They need to join this resistance, and they need to join this resistance to push back. We do not want to live under socialism.
Helen Raleigh, thank you. You are a true patriot, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and our quote at the end of the day is from Karl Marx. He said, the theory of communism may be summed up in one sentence, abolish all private property. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.